And the third one was, I will never, ever preach anywhere based on a financial arrangement. Amen. I don't ever ask anybody. In fact, I had one man that had asked me 2 or 3 times to come to his church, and every time I prayed about it, the Lord said, no, don't go yet. So I'd tell him no. Well, he just stayed after me. And he came in one time, he said, I was preaching for someone else, and he came over to the service, and they were putting some TV stuff on my face. And he walked in there. He said, Copeland, why don't you got to come to my church. Now, he said, I'll tell you what, I promise you I'll get you the biggest offering you have ever had anywhere you've ever preached. I said, now, you have just cut me off. I cannot come to your church. Because every time I start to come, that'll come up in my thinking. So I'm not coming. What? I said, no, sir, I am not coming. Now, why do that? I'm not serving Jesus, I'm serving me. Mm-hmm. I'm not serving the congregation, I'm making a living.
Come on.
I like what Abraham said. He said he lifted his hand to God. You know what that means? That phrase means, I am in covenant with God. I am in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that He meets my needs. He tells me where to go and I go. Amen.
Amen.
And never let it be said any man made Kenneth Copeland rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Now then, let's wind this down, because here's where we get into the very meat of this. 1 John 4. This is one I was wanting to read. Now I get to read it. 1 John 4. And I want you to look at the 17th verse. Herein is our love made perfect, or developed, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we. As He is, where is He? How is He? He is at the right hand of the Father. He is in heaven. He is glorified. But as He is, so are we in this world. Not after you die and get to heaven. In this world. In this world. You are His body. Oh, my, my. Now then, now get this now. He needs us. He needs us to do what? All right, let's go get us a firm, strong definition from the book of Isaiah. Thank you, Jesus. Shoko kalamakam. I'm gonna have to go to the back room for a moment.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you pick this up here? Shuko pachino. Kel mangrombo Bala mongro mogo google la, pray in the Holy Ghost. Kalambo kupuka.
Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost for Rosi Tiribiki Shataraba. Rendere chi sherebe se tembroso toro bahasa.
Thank you. I absolutely refuse to yield. I refuse to yield my body under any circumstance. To anything Satan tries to do to me, I refuse it. Stopping what I'm about to say to you is hell's priority. They can't stand this. But there's not an ocean wide enough or a mountain high enough. Nothing in this world order can overcome faith. I don't care what condition your physical body is in. Get it up from there and get on into the fray of the thing. Yes. Amen. Yes. Isaiah chapter 51. Now remember, we are the seed of Abraham. If you be in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Heir of what? The blessing. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Verse 1, Isaiah 51, 1. It always thrills me when I see hearken that says, hear, kin. Gloria reminded me of that one day. She came in there and said, you know this is talking to you? It says, hear, Ken. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye were hewn, and to the hole of the pit wherein you were digged. Now, hey, now what's it referring to the hole from which you were dug? Well, you dug out of, I'll tell you right now, to God Almighty, you were a treasure, and He dug deep enough to find you and dig you out of that pit and dig you out of that fall, to dig you out of that past life, glory be to God, and set you in a high place and give you more blessing than Adam has. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Now you read the book of Hebrews, and you'll find out that we are by God called Mount Zion. The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And He will make her wilderness like Eden. This is the Eden covenant. This is the Eden blessing. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. You living in a desert right now? You get over on the Word of God, and God will turn it into the garden of the Lord. Amen. So now we know. Now we know why Jesus was called. Now we know why Abraham was called. Jesus came to get that Abrahamic Eden covenant blessing over back on the descendants of Ham and Japheth. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. And it's not a lesser blessing. It's not a lesser blessing than what Adam had. No. Jesus is sitting where someday Adam could have been. He wasn't going to spend the rest of his life just taking care of that garden. I told you it was exceeding abundantly beyond anything he could ask or think. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." Adam's authority went up to, but not including, the throne of God. But Jesus said, "All of it is mine." The Father has given him everything he has and has given him total and complete command over heaven and earth. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
What was the next words that came out of his mouth? "Therefore, you go in my name. You are in the earth what I am in heaven. You represent me in the earth. I represent you in heaven. And together, we're going to run this whole thing." Oh, hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to begin to think circumspectly about the things that God has done for us, and stop having religious fear over the things you read in the Bible. Some of the things in the King James Version were not translated right. It wasn't because those men didn't know. It was because King James was watching over their shoulder, and he considered himself a Bible scholar and theologian. And he believed in capital punishment. You can tell what a strong spiritual man he was. He'd kill you for mistranslating this thing. According to what the way he thought it should have been. And it, of course, it influenced the way they thought. But I'm telling you, there's that same kind of spirit is among us today. Amen? Yeah, it is. Well, now, Brother Copeland, you really couldn't mean, really, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, you see, that's just a figure of speech. Well, why didn't he say figure then instead of speaking? New Testament's full of these things. No, he meant it and he said it. Why? Because he intended for us to do what he's called us to do. Turn this miserable, dying world into a Garden of Eden wherever anybody will listen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Come on, man. I mean, I fly a nice airplane and all that, fastest civilian airplane on the planet. I mean, we come up here a couple of days ago, nearly 700 miles an hour. We are smoking, Bubba. Yeah, having a good time. That is junk compared to God's chariot that is as fast as the lightning from the east to the west. I'm going to get me one of them. Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Why do you think we have fast jets? Why do you think we have television sets? And why do you think they just keep getting better and 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 better? Why do you think that? So the devil's crowd can run all over the world and sell whiskey and dope? The scripture said all things were created for and by him. It was the blessing that created that citation 10. Yes, it was the blessing that created those TV cameras. It was the blessing that created those instruments. And it's the blessing on these men and women to use those instruments in the glory of Almighty God. Somebody get healed while you're playing the same as you can while I'm talking.
Amen.
It's happened before.
Amen.
It's happened to you before, and it's going to happen some more. But what do you have to do? Well, you, before you even sit down to that piano, or before you even get behind the wheel of your car, this thing was created for and by him. Is this the best I can do? Well, I'm Brother Copeland, my Lord. I practice all the time now. It's not by more practice. It is, but not practicing in the natural. It finally comes to a place where you ain't going to get any further until you realize Jesus needs you. Then you start getting better in the Holy Ghost. You see what I mean? He needs you. He needs me. I cannot despise his word. I cannot despise these meetings. I have to be there. I have finally found a people that are willing. I have finally found a people that will give and tithe and allow me to bless them as Abraham of old. I have finally found a people that will rise up and lay their hands on the sick and actually expect something to happen instead of trying to figure out how to get a bigger offering out of it. I have finally come up to a place with my people in their eyes and in their mind. They call me king, but they didn't treat me like a king. They treated me like a pauper. They said, yes, I believe the word. I believe it when it said I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Yet when I would call them to go to this place, go to that place, they'd say, oh, Lord, I can't do that. But I finally found the people that'll treat me like a king. That'll treat me like the high priest of God. A people that will dare say, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Send me. I want to go. I want to go. Send me to some dirty, no good place. I want to see your blessing work. Glory to God. Send me in there. Let me go, Jesus. Let me go. Oh, Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul made strange and funny sounding statements when he said, I glory in tribulation. I glory in it. I glory in tribulation, he said. You know what that is? That's saying to the devil, shoot your biggest shot, Jack. Because you catch me when I'm my weakest. You shoot your biggest shot, and that's when I'll be stronger than ever. Instead of trying to hide out under the bench hoping Coach Jesus don't send you in the game. After all, Coach, I'm so little. And my big boy's over there. Oh, Lord. Oh, don't send me over there. Oh, don't send me over there. Oh, Jesus, would you get me out of this company? There are no Christians there. No, I won't. There's one Christian there. Maybe you were right the first time. There's no Christians here. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It's our time. It is our time. It's the last few minutes of the fourth quarter, and we got the ball. Yeah. Amen. Let me go in there, Coach. Woo! Let me in there. Oh, yeah, let me in there. There, Lord. I'm going to sit over here on the bench while all this is going on, punching a time clock somewhere. Dear Lord. Did you get anything out of this tonight? It takes that commitment that most people never make. Did you hear, did any of you hear the speech that John McCain made the other night at the Republican convention? If you didn't, not because of politics, but go listen to that speech because he said something in there. The news media didn't even hear it. Nobody heard it. Except those of us who have ears to hear. He said, he was just a wild kid, cocky, thought he could handle anything, you know, big time naval fighter pilot, you know, and all that, and everything goes with that. And they put him in that prison, and he still was that way. And he said they would torture him and all of that. And on the way back from the torture session, you know, he's telling everybody, you know, they didn't get me this time. But then I heard this. He said, but then they broke me. He said, they broke me. He said, oh, I forgot exactly his phraseology, but the way I heard it with my ear, in his own mind, he became a nothing. And he said, that's when I fell in love with my country. And that's when he made the decision. He didn't make the decision while he was at the Naval Academy and stuck his hand up, I will serve this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and you know, defend the Constitution of the United States, so forth, so on. That's not when he committed himself to it. And this is what I'm hearing, and this is the kind of thing I was looking for. I don't care what all that politics and all that party rhetoric is. It wasn't until he fell in love with his country in that prison cell and decided that it was bigger than him and that he would serve this country all the days of his life. Now, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. When you come to that place, and we don't get there through torture. We don't get there through the attacks of the devil. If we did, all everybody in this room would be a spiritual giant committed 100%. That's not where you get there. You get there over the communion table. You get there in the Word of God. You get there when you can bury yourself in this Word and say, my God, Jesus of Nazareth is my blood brother. God Almighty is actually my Father. His Word gave birth to me. Oh, Jesus, nothing else matters to me. Nothing. I was preaching in the West Indies. There was a man came to the meetings. I found out after I got there that this particular church had set aside a day a week to fast and pray and to ask God, send us somebody that has revelation knowledge of the Bible. We're tired of hearing religion. I mean, these people are stuck off in a little old church that wasn't near as big as this one section, maybe a quarter as big as this one section. Up there in the mountains, I was the first light-skinned man they'd ever seen. nobody ever came up there. But the Lord sent me there. And the first thing came out of the book of Ephesians, and I began talking about revealed knowledge. I didn't know that's what they'd been praying, that they were looking for revelation from heaven. Now, from that prayer in the first chapter of Ephesians that I read tonight. Well, they had to hear it. They wanted to know. Well, there was a man there, that one of the few there, that had a good job. But he came there, he didn't live there. He found out about the meeting and he came up there. And he quit his job to come. Well, I met him later and we had marvelous manifestations of the power of God. My Lord, I had one girl raised from the dead. And just a lot of wonderful things. And I said, Deacon Lewis, somebody told me you quit your job to come into these meetings. He said, yes, sir. I said, tell me about it. You just went in and gave your resignation and you came here? Yes, sir. I said, what are you going to do when you get home? He said, I don't know. Big smile on his face. But he said, Brother Copeland, I can take what I've learned here this week, get me a lot better job. I said, you write and let me know when you do. And he did. Praise the Lord. But you see his attitude? I don't care what they say. This is mine. There was a young man that got a hold of the Word while he was in prison. And he was raised in a family of thieves. None of them knew God. They were all thieves and crooks. He was raised to be a crook. He didn't know how to live any other way. And so in prison, he got born again. Well, he got out of prison, miraculously. And when he got out, he said, Brother Copeland, I didn't know how to live. I did not know how to be honest. I did not. He said, my family goes back generations. There's all this bunch of thieves. And he said, that's all we talked about. That's really what we studied was how you break the law. How do you get by with all this stuff? And he said, but I'll tell you what I did. He said, I got you guys scheduled. And he said, I'd go to the town where you were coming, and I'd get me a job somewhere, get me a labor job, whatever. And he said, just go to work and work hard till the meeting got started. And he said, I'd quit that job, and I'd be in every service. Dear Lord, I'd be in every service. He said, I'm telling you right now, God ain't gonna say nothing that I don't hear. I'd be in every service. He said, when the meeting is over with, I'd leave there and go to the next town where you're going to be. He said, it might be a month before you was there. Might have been a week. Might have been different times. He said, I'd get me a job washing dishes or something. And he said, and I'd save my money. And when the meeting would get there, he said, I'd come in. He said, you guys taught me how to live. He said, I learned how to be courteous to people. He said, I actually learned from all the things you talk about and all those things you tell about your family and all that. He said, I learned how to act. Amen. How to sit down and eat, how to pray over my meals. He said, I didn't know anything like that. I didn't know how to be decent to other people. And he said, I learned through this ministry. How did he learn it? I didn't meet him. I didn't know who he was. He wasn't looking to meet somebody or not. He just get in the Word. Just get in the Word. And he would keep on with whatever he learned while he was there. He just keep studying. Well, what was happening, the Word was teaching him and training him, and the blessing of the Lord was working on the inside of him, praise God. Now, at the time that he was telling me that, he was dean of a Bible school. Promotion comes from God. Isn't that what Scripture said? Promotion comes from God, not from the east, not from the west, not from the north, not from the south. Exalt not your own horn, the Scripture said, for promotion comes from God. What is exalting your horn? What does horn mean? Well, horn means horn. You don't know what a horn is? I'm not talking about a trumpet. I'm talking about a billy goat horn, deer antlers, horn, something growing out of your head. And the reason why these instruments were called horns is because originally they came from animal horns. So they are horns. And in the Bible, horn is used as a symbol of honor. It is used as a symbol of glory, dignity, judgment, wealth, wisdom, and knowledge. Now, where would they get a symbol like that out of something growing out of something's head? Well, think about it a minute. Who is the bull of the woods in the animal kingdom? It's the one with them big horns. Amen. Yeah. The elk with the biggest horns gets all the girls. The deer with the biggest horn runs the territory. The goat with the biggest horns is the billy goat. Amen. Oh, yeah. Who is the boss of the whole herd? The ram. Why? He got them big horns. So what happens? He exalts his presence by throwing those horns back and make sure everybody see this is me. And when Hannah was praying, she said, he always exalts my horn. That's what David's attitude was. God exalts my horn. What does that mean? God lifted his head. God's not against you being exalted. He's against you exalting yourself. That's good. And we're told to roll all of our care over on him. For he cares for us that he may exalt us in due time. It's when we fell before him and we cried out to him and said, from this day forward, my God exalts my heart. Never let it be said that any man made Kenneth Copeland rich. Oh, Jesus. I fell on my knees when I realized that I was in a blood covenant arrangement with the Almighty God. My Lord, man. Oh, dear Jesus. When you were born again, you weren't born a servant of God. You were born a son of God. You had to become a servant of God by humbling yourself and saying, Jesus needs me. He needs me rich. I'll press until I am generous to every good work. He needs me well. I will not stop. I will not cease until my body is totally, completely healed and well and whole. I don't care what I have to repent of. I don't care what kind of cleansing and washing I have to go through. And when they're having a meeting like this in my church, bless God, I don't intend to miss a second. Come on. And I intend to study through the whole thing. You don't like that down there where I work? Well, then that's just too bad. Now, I know that it doesn't come easy. There comes a time when you do. And I remember the day. I can just see it. It's just right in front of my face. I just fell on the floor on my knees. I said, God, I give you my life, my spirit, my soul, my body, my thoughts. I love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind and strength. All I have and ever will have is yours. You say, give it, I give it. You say, do it, I do it. You say, don't do it, I don't go. I don't go. I don't go. Oh, God. And it just overwhelmed me, and I just fell on my face. Bill, you know what he did? He lifted my head. I'm telling you, it was so real. It was so real. I heard the word of the Lord come, and he said, stand upright on your feet. I stood up. He said, you're my warrior. You're my man. But you're not my servant. You're my son. And I entered into his rest on the throne of grace. We've been raised up and made to sit with him on that throne. God invited Jesus. He said, come, sit with me until I make your enemies your footstool. And then in the book of Revelation, Jesus made the same invitation to us. And he said to those that overcome. Overcome what? Overcome self and overcome the things that keep you from being blessed. To them that overcome, will I grant to sit with me on my throne even as... Huh? Not enough of you know that scripture. Even as I sit with my Father on his throne. After you die and go to heaven, it didn't say that. It said when you were born of him, he gave you his name, he gave you his spirit, he gave you his word. You were born of his Father, and he's caused you to be raised up together and sit together with him in heavenly places. Where? On the throne of grace, right there with him. Hallelujah. Wow. Resting and allowing the blessing to work until your enemies be made your footstool. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. Would you stand with me, please? Bless the Lord. He needs us healthy to go into all the world. He needs us strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded, just like Abraham. He needs us rich, so that we always having all sufficiency in all things may continue to be generous to all works. And that's not through talent or education. No, it said he's able to make all grace abound towards you. It is in his grace. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You couldn't earn your salvation. You got it by grace. You couldn't earn the Holy Ghost. You got him by grace. You couldn't earn your healing. You got it by grace. Now, why did you think you had to earn your money? It's by the grace of God. Hallelujah. It is by the blessing of Abraham. Woo, hallelujah. He needs us to love because faith worketh by love. The blessing itself is a manifestation of compassion. And he needs us obedient. He needs us to be obedient. Instead of working against him, we need to be working with him. Hallelujah. Put away a disobedient mouth. Beware of things that are unbecoming to the man and woman of faith. Beware of things that are based in what you want to do instead of what he's called you to do. Well, Brother Copeland, I don't know that I even know what the perfect will of God for my life is. That's the reason you're having this meeting. Get in there and find out. Get all stirred up on the inside. Come into the meeting and set yourself before the Lord. I'm going to know before this thing's over with, I'm going to know what the next step is. That's all you got to know. You don't need to know the whole thing. You just need to know the next step. Praise God. I'm going to know what the next step is. Oh, yeah, but what if he sends me to Timbuktu? Timbuktu was made for you. Oh, that's where your blessing is. Oh, that's where your job is. That's where the church is for you. I mean, hey, he's got it planned. Work with him, not against him. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Brother Bill, would you come up here and stand with me, please? You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the door. That is the door. He's called the door. And these things are not outside him. They are inside him. There is no blessing in this earth outside of him. Not any. All that he did, all the things that he suffered, all of that is waiting, just waiting. The only thing that he could not do was pray your prayer. He did everything else. People say, well, Brother Copeland, you make it so easy. No, it isn't easy. It's not easy at all. It's just easy on you and me. But the moment you pray that prayer, I want you to know everything he did, everything he paid for, going to hell, the whole business, being raised up from the dead, all of it suddenly goes into action and suddenly hits your spirit, praise God, and heaven has it written down that this is my beloved child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And at that moment in time, everything he has belongs to you. And you're on your way. You may be in a position where you've gotten out of Father's house, you've gotten out of fellowship with God for whatever reason. Well, he's right where you left him, knocking on the door.
That great scripture in the book of Revelation said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone opens unto me." He wasn't talking to sinners at that moment. He was talking to churches that wouldn't let him in. Well, just let him back in. Just let him do what he'd been wanting to do with you all the time. Because the scripture said he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins when we confess them. The moment you confess it and believe it, it's yours. He's faithful and he's just. He would be unfaithful to God if he was unfaithful to you. Because that's why he's here. Is to bring you to the Father. Oh, hallelujah. Best friend you ever had. The most faithful companion you could ever. You can't even dream of anybody more faithful than he is. Oh, my. Or it may be that you've been born again, but you've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, you never will. You cannot ever come to the place in the blessing of God that you should, because Jesus provided it. Now, if you could get there without something he provided, then there is a way to reach the fullness of the blessing outside of what he did. And that's impossible. Amen. Well, Brother Copeland, don't start that hem-hawing around. Are you going to be bold about it or not? Praise God. I never will forget the night. Glory and I, particularly me, I like to went to hell, man. And when I finally did accept things, I didn't want to pass up anything. And somebody gave an invitation to come get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I didn't even know what they was talking about. And my mother was sitting right in front of me. I said, "Mama, is that something we ought to have?" She said, "You ought to have that." I just jumped and ran. Had no idea what was going to happen to me. No clue. I ran up there, and there was a bunch of men standing. Well, of course, Gloria, she just followed me up there. She didn't know either. She never heard of it. And they just, the men put their hands on me, and the women put their hands on Gloria. Neither one of us knew what we were supposed to do. And they're saying, "Hang on, let go. Hang on, brother, let go," you know, and all those different kinds of things. But we were so hungry and so eager. Dear Lord, Peter said, "Yeah, now you have to get up on the roof of this building to get this." I'd have said, "Well, how do you get up there?" I didn't want to miss on anything anymore. And I can see now why the Lord is that way. Everything that he has done, everything that he has provided, not one thing is insignificant. There's not anything insignificant about Jesus, in Jesus, around Jesus, for Jesus, above him, below him. There is nothing insignificant about him and his work. Amen. And you just need to be like the rest of us, just say, "Well, bless God, I don't care who knows it. I don't care what the world thinks about it. I don't care what my family thinks about it. I'm going up there tonight. I'm going to get born again. I'm going to get full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get this mess out of my life. And I'm making my mind up tonight. I'm going all the way with Jesus. I'll tell you, I'll fight the good fight of faith." Hey, you know what the good fight of faith is? I'll tell you what a good fight is. I've been in a few of them. Fights. I don't remember being in a good one. But I can tell you what a good fight is. A good fight is when you already the winner. A good fight is when your big brother have done whooped a boy that you're going to have to fight. Hey, yeah. And you get the prize. Amen. I don't care what to say. Praise God, this is where I am, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going for God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you on any one of those propositions, just jump out from where you are right now and just come running down here. Praise God. It don't make any difference who sees you or who knows it. Praise the Lord. Just come on. Just come ahead on right now. Praise God. Amen. You just come on up here in the name of the Lord Jesus right now. Come on. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on.
Come on. I know you're out there. I know you're out there because the Lord told me to give this invitation. Now I want you to be bold and get on out of there and get on down here now like you're supposed to. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Just come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is a woman.